Hey there! Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower-than-low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
Welcome to Season 5. Support for the Boner Planet Podcast is presented by
Dead Downwind, Tinks, Shadowhunter Blinds, Burris Optics, Dead Ringer, The Grind, Bomar Archery, Element Outdoors, Reveal Cellular Camera, HHA and HHA USA, Black Eagle Arrows.
Additional support provided by Deer Camp Coffee and Yeti Coolers.
Hello and welcome to Boner Planet Podcast. I'm Dave Thomas, tonight with Timmy and Jamie. How are you guys doing?
I'm good, buddy. How are you?
I'm doing great. I'm doing the best I can.
I love it.
So welcome everyone.
So 2021, man, we're past 2020 obviously by a couple of months here, but hopefully this is shaping up to be a good 2021 for all of us.
Yeah, hopefully we can get rid of masks soon and live a normal life. That'd be cool.
Yeah, hunting season I've always worn a mask, so that was a funny thing. Is like back when deer season happened and I had all my like camel hunting masks, everybody's making comments about like, oh, you bought a camel mask, and like, no dude, I've been wearing this for like,
yeah,
hunting masks are common, you know. Like you don't, I didn't wear them, you know, not to get COVID or anything like that, and I'm not wearing them not to get COVID in the ground blind. I'm just wearing it because it blends you in a little bit better.
Yeah, I think for this year I don't know. Like, it'd be nice to get back to normal. I don't necessarily think it's going to be back to normal, but I'll be happy if I can just go to Sherwood and get a beer and a meal this year.
Well, all of us have either had it or fully vaccinated, so it don't matter anymore. It's a roll.
Over, yo.
We win.
That's crazy.
So now COVID.
Are you sure about that, though, Jamie?
I win.
I heard you grew a fourth nipple.
That's not safe for work. We're not going to talk about that.
That's one more than your third nipple, by the way.
It looks cool. I'm going to get them all pierced, probably.
Oh, ouch.
Oh, wow.
That's painful.
So, anyway, we were talking about goals today a little bit before we started this podcast. Just kind of like, what are our goals for 21? And like, what are your goals for 21? And I think it's a really important thing for hunting, obviously, specifically. Obviously, you have a separate list if you have, like, you know, life goals, that's different. But so for me, I guess I'll start by saying I got a couple main goals this year. Number one is I really do want to get another turkey. But if not get a turkey, at least be there when somebody gets a turkey, because I think it's always fun to, do that hunt with somebody. The only reason I say that is, to me, turkey hunting is a lot easier than deer hunting. And I feel like if the turkey are around, you have a really good chance. And I don't really care if I don't get one, so it's not as big of a deal to me. Now, it would be cool to focus on some sort of turkey grand slam idea, but that's a little different. I think I gotta have more time. I gotta be like retired to do that, like Kevin. I gotta have retired time to be able to travel the country to get certain birds.
Yeah.
So you guys got any goals for turkey specifically?
Mine is just to get one. You know, in all honesty, I have not ever hunted turkey. I've been with a lot of people that have hunted turkey themselves, and I was kind of like the counterpart to it. But a lot of times, like most of the time when I went with them, like they just couldn't seal the deal, so I'm stuck, you know, being cameraman or whatever.
I wonder who that was.
Mine is to actually get to be behind the weapon that kills the turkey this year. That's my turkey goal anyway. I got other goals, but that's my turkey goal. Jamie, how about you?
I just want to kill another one. what I want to do with my bow. And I don't want to be in a blind. I want to use a ghost blind.
Ooh, that's kind of cool. That's actually cool. Interesting, Noboom, because what that does is
got the interesting perfect part spot about that, for it.
But I was going to say, the interesting part about the ghost blind is now you can still have the two blinds where they normally were, but the ghost blind can go anywhere in the middle, anywhere. And that's huge because there's always a couple spots they pop out that would be the ghost blind's perfect for, especially
right on the corner at the top of that hill where those pine trees are. I put it right there.
They need to make a ghost blind ghillie suit.
You can still wear a ghillie suit,
like one with like straps on it that goes around your shoulders, like those guys that stand on the corner telling you that the furniture store is closing, where you can just walk out in the woods.
It spins
with the ghost blind, and nobody can see you.
I'd make fun of that, but one of my kids is probably gonna end up doing that for a career. So.
I love it. I love it. Actually, I was thinking about that because I wanted to talk a little bit about the ghost blind.
That's what you want to talk a little bit about, the sign spinner.
So I mean, with a ghost blind, love the idea, but then you have to in a ground blind, I wear black, right? Because I blend into the background. So this isn't really a ground blind, and I get that. It's just kind of a, you know, reflective service that's reflecting in front of you. You have to be dressed in the right camo, I would still assume, because if you're not and you pop up behind that ghost blind, or you know, you're sitting behind the ghost blind, they could probably still see you fairly well unless you're camoed in pretty decently with your clothing.
Yeah.
I mean, I guess if you're, I don't think they can really see you because the whole point of it is that it's like a half moon. Now, if they come out to your right or left, then they're going to see you.
I'm thinking that wouldn't happen, but I'd probably put the decoys a little further than what I think they're going to come. So that way they're focused on them rather than me.
Yeah.
So I can pop them before they get there.
Yeah, and I'm thinking about one of those like ninja masks, you know, like the cold winter ninja mask or camo, because like your head's going to be above the ghost blind line.
Yeah, I probably just
Actually, it isn't. There's like these two bumps like this, and you look through this hole, but your head is actually below it, and then you come up when you're ready to fire with a bow.
Right.
With a crossbow, you might not ever have to, because you could shoot through that hole. There's multiple holes. It goes like that around the top. So I don't think you're just lower than it somehow. That's something I don't know because I've never used one. But
yeah, I can't wait to get my hands on it, honestly. That's going to be a pretty cool thing.
Come grab whenever you want. They're just sitting here. So just grab one.
Love it, love it.
Ghost blind. That's what I want to look up. Yeah, so, and then I put the order in for the Shadow Hunter blind. So I don't know. They have to make them. You know, everything's behind. So I don't know when we're going to actually have them.
Yeah.
So,
I mean, in all honesty, as long as we have them kind of midsummer, we're good. It's just a matter of us wanting to get content, right? And making sure that we set them up and do all that kind of stuff with them when we get them. So,
unfortunately, we just can't until they can get them to us, right? I mean, there's not much we can do. But let me share this real quick. I just want to show you guys this. So, you see, like right here. So you're right though, Tim, because the top of your head, this is with a compound.
Right.
That's with the compound. There's a crossbow one, see? It's a little different.
Yeah, see, you probably want something like that for compound.
Yeah, for compound, you have to use this one. That's what I'm saying. Yeah. But for crossbow, you can use the shorter one. But like Tim is right, you're going to be exposed a little bit, see?
That's all right. I mean, I just sat out there last year and I almost got one, so...
You see how low he is?
He's on the ground. It's not hard to camel your head in. You don't need... Yeah. And in fact, like from your neck down, it doesn't even matter. You just got to think about that a little bit where, you know, you're not wearing like bright colors or anything when you're bird hunting anyway.
This guy's sitting on the ground.
That's interesting.
Yeah, I don't think I'd like that doing that low.
So this one's on the ground. Go back to that other page. There's three different sizes.
I guess so, because I didn't realize. Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah, I didn't know there was like a ground seat type.
Yeah, that's.
I mean, they're pretty low.
You know, obvious. Yeah.
I wonder how it stands up.
I was just gonna ask, like, does it like stick in with stakes or anything? You have to worry about wind, but we'll figure that out. That's what I'm excited about, is because we've seen this product for years now, and we finally get to get our hands on it. And I'm actually super excited to see how this thing, puts up, how quickly it puts up, how destructible or indestructible it is. It's going to be pretty fun.
Well, it's going to be awesome for a gun, though, too. You just go wherever you want.
Yeah, no doubt. Oh, man, could you imagine it that at the property we have? That would be phenomenal, man.
Yeah, I mean,
yeah, Tim's going to shoot it with his bow, crossbow, that's for sure.
Yep.
You can see his head pretty good in that.
It's not going to matter. Turkeys aren't that smart.
No, I mean, I'm talking about for deer.
Yeah.
I'm just trying to figure out how they do it for deer. Oh, wow, that's cool right there. That's really cool. But he's just couched over. Ugh, Phantom.
That's pretty cool, though.
Wow, look at that.
Oh, we should go get a turkey gun.
Wow.
Yeah, I think there's definitely different things you have to think about, right? Because, you know, the camel's the one thing, and that's not a major deal. The other thing is, like, you probably, when you're sitting in this, need to be more aware than you've ever been sitting in a ground blind.
Oh, look, there it is, Tim. Look, there's a stake.
Oh, there's the stakes, yeah.
That's it looks cool. Like it's the stake system.
Oh, that makes it easy, then.
What's that? What do you do there?
Just for fun?
Just like tie down. Stake to hold the sides down.
Or you could do that.
Oh, okay.
Well, put some wood on it.
It'll look pretty sturdy if they're laying logs on top of it. More than just like corrugated plastic or anything like that. I'm excited though.
Man.
Look at that. That's pretty cool. What an interesting product. Oh, look at that. Ooh, I like that. Extenders. Do you see that? You could add extenders. That's pretty cool for deer hunting. Get a little higher. But I don't know how high you want it, you know. It might be something where you don't want it high. Because then maybe you could see it. I don't know. I didn't see extenders on here. Oh, is that what these are maybe? Oh, they are. It looks like they are.
Yeah, maybe, it does.
I got some of these kits, so maybe they actually came with the extenders.
Huh.
Very cool.
Oh, look, like this one. I wonder if you could go all the way around yourself. Huh. I don't know. Anyway, pretty cool.
I think depending on where you're hunting at, it could definitely be a game changer. I'm excited about it, honestly. It's something I've been wanting to try out for years, ever since they, you know, you walk into, I think it was, what was it? Cabela's maybe is where the first time that I saw one set up, and they're pretty sweet, man. I like it.
Yeah, I'm excited. It's been a long time. This company's been around a long time. They must have sold the Shadow Hunter recently, because, or Summit Outdoors, I mean, who owns Shadow Hunter, because I don't know how long they've owned this. I feel like it's, I felt like it was owned by somebody else for a long time.
Yeah, you might be right. So anyway, speaking of 2021 goals, my top 2021 goal is to be respected as a bow hunter.
What's that mean?
Really? Really? That's the reaction I get?
Respected as a bow
hunter? Sounds great, buddy.
Respected, period, I guess. But also, I'm sorry, as a crossbow hunter.
Oh.
As a crossbow hunter. So no, I'm joking. My number one goal, honestly, has nothing to do with killing an animal. Turkey, I would love to get one. Deer, I would love to get one. But my number one goal for 2021 is the prep for deer season. I want to do more prep, more kind of property management, more setting up and scouting, finding the right places. Cause I feel like for myself, when I'm setting up spots, it's kind of always like the same old, same old. I'll spend like 20 minutes looking around and not really find anything in that 20 minutes. I'm like, oh, we'll just go back to the old faithful, if you will. But old faithful didn't work out for me the last year or two. So for me, it's really spending time scouting and prepping and getting that perfect spot set up.
To be fair, I think that I don't disagree, because that's part of the fun. And that's like one of the things that I think everybody should do anyway. So I think it's fun. But I think last year was a great example of what hunting's really about, and it's luck. There's a lot of luck involved in hunting, and I think that we all, you know, think of like a spot, think, oh, that, you know, the deer always go to that spot, but that's not really true. I mean, like an example of that was the deer I got last year. I mean, really, if it wasn't for Jamie walking behind me, he wouldn't have bumped it to me. That's the thing. It was a lot of things that happened that make me had a chance to shoot that buck. Right. But really, I missed my opportunity earlier in that morning when it walked by, but I was in the wrong spot at the wrong time, or the wrong time. So I feel like it's the same with you guys, though. I feel the same thing, because like that area you were in, Tim, there's big bucks all the time back in that area, but
it never worked out. I saw the biggest buck of my life, you know, huge 12 point behind me. It was behind me and too far away.
Probably should push behind you though. Now we're gonna have to see how this all works out, right?
Are they for sure putting that in?
Everything's gonna be different.
Yeah, is it for sure going up? That's what I mean. Is like with the changes that we have going on the property this year, I think me personally want to take a little bit more ownership of where I go and how it's set up. And
well,
because a lot of times, like with ground blinds, you're just like, oh, this is good, I'm going to throw it up, and if it doesn't work, I have another spot to go to. But I want to be very intentional of kind of where I go. And
well, there's some good news in this. The good news is a couple things. Number one, we got Reveal to help us figure out a little bit of that information early on. So we can start putting those back out like in the summer, and then we just see what happens with the fence going up, right? The camera will tell us. We'll put one right on the fence line to see if they're walking the line, right? It's going to tell us right off the bat what's changing, especially by you, Tim, because it's going to funnel from that fence. So we could put those cameras like every like 20 yards. You know what I mean? Like, so you could see, what are they doing? Are they coming like this? Are they going like this? How are they crossing that area? You know, the other thing is this ghost blind could be a game changer for deer hunting. Like, cause we're not used to using this, but like, this could really help you get closer than you think right now. I mean, if you were like dead down, wind it up like big time and like ghost blind it with a full camo and like, no, if you had an area where you know they're coming out and you could get that thing between some trees, like, I mean, who knows what you could do. As long as you're there before they come through, it's sky's the limit. I mean, it changed a lot.
Yeah. And that's really it, is figuring out the deer movement, because I feel like last year I thought I had a really good spot. Really, really did. I was super confident early in the year saying, I'm not going to take a doe. I'm not going to take a doe, because I'm just seeing deer all the time, all the time. They were a little bit too far away, but I just knew either I was going to have a big buck come in where it's going to be a great bow shot, or I was going to save the shot for gun. And it just happened where they completely changed their movements later down in the season, where when I was hunting kind of softly, if you will, the beginning of the season, when I started to hardcore hunt towards the end of the season, they just completely changed what they were doing. And I think that to me is like kind of the pre-work, is to say, okay, this spot might be really, really good. It might look amazing, but let's look at the spot that I'm setting up here, and let me get another strategic spot somewhere else that I'm going to be able to see the same deer, but at a different angle. So like last year, right, I had three different spots that I was hunting. I had the field, I had the woods, and then I had across the road. I had three spots set up, but none of them were complementing each other.
Yeah. Right?
So if this one didn't work, then I might be sitting somewhere else, but it's a shot in the dark as to whether I'm going to see anything over there, because I haven't patterned or seen those deer and how they're moving in that other area. So I want to be able to set up some spots that say, okay, this is going to be my main spot, so to speak, but I want to strategically place some other ones around that, so that this isn't working, I can jump to other areas where I know there's deer because I'm seeing them in that one spot, but have a better strategic angle or strategic opportunity to get those same deer and not completely different deer in a completely different area. Because I feel like I waste a lot of time like going across the street and hunting there, not knowing what's there. And then all of a sudden I sit there and nothing shows up. And I'm like, well, shoot. I mean, I know I probably wouldn't have seen something over here, but I know they're there, you know? So let me set up some spots along that other side, so I can kind of make sure that no matter where they're at, if they're not coming out here, then maybe I'm 60 or 80 yards away in another spot and I'm going to see them there instead, because I know they're traveling through there somewhere.
I think some of the focus though, that's being missed a lot, to be honest. And I think that maybe, I don't know, I know you tried it a little bit, but the 15 portion, I feel like is being missed completely. And I felt like after what we saw there last year, there was a lot
There's a lot big more buck living back there. And if
that's what I'm saying.
Ron messed it up. If he would have just listened to me and hunted it, he would have got him.
No, that is where I shot my buck. So whether it's on the field or whether it's on the 15, I think even on the 15, I have the one spot that I go to, but I need to have two or three other strategic spots where if they're not there at that time, that I can shift to another area because I know they're there. It's just a matter of being in the right spot at the right time, and I don't feel like I cover the area enough.
Yeah. Well, I think it's like that for all of us. I mean, there's not the problem with that land the way we have it. There's just not really, I mean, there's only like certain areas. And I feel like there's not like a plan B for any of us realistically. Right. It's really just like, hey, no boom. If you're not gonna hunt the 20-foot area, I'm gonna hunt 20-foot area. And if he's like, well, I'm gonna hunt 20-foot area, then I'm gonna go hunt the back other corner. But there's not really like a secondary option. It's really just the whole region that we're kind of split off in. And then you got like the 20-foot area, the center where you're at, Tim, on the right, and you got the back bull area, which we really just hunt one guy back there. But I mean, it's pretty vast area. And then the 15, which I feel like has been underrated for a while now. It might be something we need to all focus on next year and setting up a really good spot there. And so anybody can go to and have that extra backup.
Yeah. Ron picked the best spot. It's all about getting up in that tree.
Well, I think we just need to set it up because now that this fence is going to be there, that actually might end up being one of the better areas to go hunt.
This might change what we see.
Around the whole bowl. I mean, I don't know. We'll see.
Yeah. Well, we can get two guys on that bowl area for sure. They'll definitely get two guys over there.
But I think to your point,
bow hunting is hard for that because there's really, I mean, unless you go in the woods part.
Correct. Yeah.
But then you're cutting the other dude off pretty harsh.
No, I think you got to work the perimeter, right? Because they got to come into the property from somewhere.
It's just hard to get it in that perimeter, right? Because I've thought about that, where
they don't see you.
Because I put the blind on that corner that sticks out, but there's almost never a shot, and you can't really get up in a tree there.
Well, I think that kind of it just what Dave said earlier makes a lot of sense. Is that I hate to say it, but some of it to me is about the pressure. So having those movements around the property and having us kind of hunting separately from each other, I think makes it tougher at times. Where if you're hunting the same property, you might be hunting the same couple of bucks, you know, between a group of people, but there's more opportunities because you might scare them off and they come over here. You might do something and it might change their pattern enough where you get a better shot at them.
Then we also have to see how do we get to these spots.
Well, that's true too. Yeah, no doubt.
So this is the bowl. This is where Jamie was sitting last year. I shot a doe here. Brian shot a deer here. I don't know if Jamie shot here. You put that blind here, Jamie, on the corner.
Yeah.
But that didn't work because it just too far for a bow.
It's good for gun, but yeah.
So I would think that you already have two stands here. I would think you could put another stand in this top corner, which Ron has one, but we could play around with that and move it forward and have it face more out towards, I can't figure this out, this way, towards where you turkey hunt. And then if you go back here, if you go back here and go back across the field where the buildings are, you could actually put a stand overlooking the field in the top corner. Even though there's action there from people, I see a lot of deer across that field, a lot of deer from the side we walk in.
That open area?
Yeah, there's a huge field, right? That big field.
There's the field, but you got that wood line, right? But then there's a break in the wood line that goes to the buildings.
Correct. Yeah. Anywhere in there. I'm just saying like they're always there. I could have shot two deer easy this year. They would have been does probably, but who knows what's going to walk through. You just don't know. I'm just saying that there are some options to put people or try some things, you know, The 20-foot area might have to be adjusted now because if the one stand I just put up last year, Tim and I, is on the fence now, we're going to have to move that. So what's the difference? We just move it across. I don't know. It doesn't matter. That area is going to be harder to hunt now, the 20-foot area, because of this fence. That's going to mess everything up.
We have to kick back in the woods a little bit.
I feel like for me, from like where the river spot is at, because of the fence that's going to go up, I'm not going to have a shot across like kitty corner at all anymore.
You're going to get pushed into.
But watching the deer from last year, even though I saw them kitty corner, that was the shot that I was banking on, 40 to 80 yards, whether it was bow or gun. I saw more action behind me down the hill.
That's where you need to be. You know where you had that other blind?
That's where I think I need to go is
that other blind that you had
right at the base of the hill. Because it kind of. Yeah, because because there's not a ton of room that's at and the road that goes through on the other side. And I feel like they travel through that area and then come up and around me on either side.
So here's my suggestion. I think what we need to do is sit down together over a beer, maybe even go there and do it. And that way we can like spend a weekend like looking, but I think we need to like pull a big piece of paper out
and a map. Some Onyx maps.
Yeah. And then, okay. But what I think we should do is set these areas up to where there anybody can hunt them. So like, if we go to where Tim, we're talking about putting Tim's blind. Well, maybe what we do is we build them like a wood structure. That's not structure, but like a wood area that his blind can pop into or a ghost blind can pop into. And then above it to the right, there's a tree stand system for somebody to use. That way you have multiple options, especially if Tim's not there and it's like just you and me, no boom. And I'm like, yeah. You know, I want to go hunt back there, but I don't want to sit no ground blind, you know, and vice versa. Then if the other areas like by the bowl have a ground blind that's in place all year that Tim can go in, it just makes more sense, I think, for moving people around and having options. That's all.
Yeah. I hate to say it, but and I know the fence is going to change a lot. So don't get me wrong. I hate to say it, but I think we need to revamp a lot. That's it.
Yeah.
You're gonna, I think we set cameras first.
Seven spots that we have. We need to
wait till it's up, set cameras, then do it.
Yeah, that's fair.
You're not moving it 10 times.
Yeah, that's a good point. And I think that the issue I have right now with that land is not an issue, but I mean, it's the one thing I don't like about it is I feel like we don't have anywhere that is a sure thing, but I know that's hard to say in hunting, but let's just say there's nowhere
we can go. We don't have a pinch point.
There's nowhere we can go right now and say, yeah, 90% you're going to shoot a doe. Like, we don't want to hunt. When I used to hunt with Sean Meisner, you know, it was 100% I could kill a doe every freaking hunt.
That spot too, though. I had that spot. For 7 years, I had that spot. It was guaranteed doe every year. Last 3 years, nothing.
No, but nothing. I guess what I'm getting at, Tim, is we don't really have a food area.
That's absolutely true.
This is my question though, and this is what I want to talk to Jamie and his dad about. Is there any way we can get the farmer to do something for us specific, ask him, pay for it? Is there any way we can pay him to put a soybean area in of just soybean, like an acre? You know what I mean?
I think it's a great idea, but we have to
see what where the like first. And you know, I got to see their fences.
I know where, and I was going to say by the bowl, that big field.
I don't know, He pays for the alfalfa, so that'd be a big.
Well, maybe can we buy some of the alfalfa? Can we keep an area that's not cut? That's what I'm getting to here. Is there any way we can get like?
Listen, Jamie, 15 money yards? Ain't a thing. Money ain't a thing, bro.
Well, we could pay for it. What's the difference? So what I'm saying is, if we can get a 10-yard stretch that stays, and we just talk to the farmer, be like, hey, leave this 10-yard stretch. Don't ever cut it. You know, just let it keep growing, and we'll pay you. Just let us know what it's worth, and we'll pay for it. You know what I mean? Like. Maybe it's an option.
It is. No,
it doesn't hurt to ask. That's all I'm saying.
It wouldn't, especially if you have it around the perimeter. And that's, I think it's a great idea. And that'd be awesome if like you could do something around the whole perimeter. I think and that side's a little bit different. The rest of the perimeter though, I think our problem is going to be, are they traveling the perimeter or not?
I guess
that's going to be the biggest thing. And I have a feeling they are not
the first year. I guarantee you they're going to tuck in the woods for that.
Yep.
I do. So that's where we got to set up.
I guess the other question is he even going to farm it this year because of the fence? Can he even get in there?
I'm sure he's going to do outside and inside, and that field's about all he's got left. So that's the thing.
Yeah. I mean, he'll lose some of it, but I think it's still probably because he's got that whole area next to the hangars too, over by us.
We'll see.
Yeah. I'm excited though. I like thinking about those things. This is fun.
I wonder if we can try to be strategic.
I would love to get corn.
And then accidentally knock it all down. So that's all.
Can you imagine if they did corn?
I'd rather have a real food plot than any of that stuff though.
I'll take anything that's going to keep deer on that land. They'll never do corn because they can't see the deer.
I don't think deer stay on that plant.
We need clover, I think.
Deer
clover would be good. We could do clover ourselves, though. That would be easy.
Am I talking to myself?
Sorry, Tim. Go ahead.
I honestly do not think deer, other than the bull, bed down on that property whatsoever.
I think there's times where they do.
It's back in the woods underneath those pines. and then it's across in the neighbors.
Yep. Yeah. That's what I was going to say. It's back behind you.
Right. That's what I mean. Not on the property. And the pines make a lot of sense. I mean,
we could put our big boy pants on and actually go back by there, I guess.
You know what we should do? I have an idea. I think what we should do is next time we're there, I think we should, if we're all good for this year and we're sticking around and stuff, I think we should take a 6-pack of beer and like something tasty, like a cake or something, and go to each neighbor and like knock on door and be like, hey, just let you know, if you need anything, let us know. We're your hunting neighbors, and just give them beer.
I like it.
You're luckily for you, I've already made the relationships with the ones that count.
I agree, yeah, but it doesn't hurt to stop in and say, hey.
Point, though, it's not a bad idea just to say, hey, you know, hunting season coming gesture. Up, just wanted to say hi. We're going to be out and about, and we're not looking to walk on your property. An accident,
I apologize.
You know. Yeah, you know, and just to say hi. So if they see our face, or we knock on their door, they're not.
I wouldn't cross that. Wouldn't cross the guy's finest line.
Yeah. I thought he's good with you.
He is, but if he sees people on his property, he doesn't know. I'm afraid to see what how he's gonna react. Just like any,
he's gonna know us. I'm bringing him beer and cake.
Yeah, no, I think that's the right call for sure.
I mean, and to exchange numbers to make sure we all have his number.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? In case we have to go ask him to go across and talk to him about it. Just like, hey.
Who I want, the number
these guys
I
are bad shots, right? So
the dog across that little dirt road, because every morning when they wake up, they let their stupid dog out and you hear it bark all the time. It drives me nuts.
Is it, I know there's still a dog there. I thought there wasn't.
They don't let it run loose like the old one, but you can.
Oh, okay. All right. Anyway, we talked enough. Thanks for a lot listening, guys. We know this one was long, but it was really helpful for us. Maybe not for you guys as much, yeah. But
thanks for listening to our thoughts.
Thanks for us to our planning for 2021. So it should be
half of them are gonna be like, these dudes got no idea what they're talking about.
It's part of the fun.
The one thing I'm looking forward to the most, though, is Sherwood. That's what I'm looking for. It's a restaurant, bar, microbrew. In the downtown city of Hastings.
Looking forward to having a beer with you guys.
Can't wait. Actually, we could probably do that next week. I'm ready to go.
Good.
All right, we'll see you guys next time on the show. Bye-bye. Bye-bye. I can't find my button. See ya.
Hey there. Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower than low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
Swimsuit? Check. Sunscreen? Check. Phone charger? Check. Don't forget to pack the 5-Hour Energy. It fits great in a pocket or carry-on, and the alert feeling will help you arrive ready for anything. Now get 20% off when you use code 5HETRAVEL at 5HourEnergy.com. Expires April 30th. One-time use only. Not valid with other discounts. Remember, visit 5HourEnergy.com and use code 5HETRAVEL to save 20%.